Hey, good morning, church. How are we? Good. Good to see you guys. Hello to those online as well. We're super glad you're here. It's always still fun talking to people that are here and online. But if you're online, jump on our website, authenticlifeaz.com, and you'll find sermon notes on there. You'll find online giving where you can securely give your tithes and offerings, connection cards, and ways to ask for prayer as well. So jump on and do that. For those of you guys that are here, you got your bulletins this morning. And Emily will run through the announcements there, but so glad that you guys are here. You got connection card. You can fill those out to sign up or for prayer requests. But let's just go to God in prayer and seek Him. Today's going to be a lot about listening to God and Him being the authority in our lives. So let's pray. Father, we love You, and God, we're so loved by You. And so God, we pray, Lord, today, that when we stand and sing, that our lips will rejoice and just praise You. And God, that it would not just come from our mouth and our tongue and our lips, but it would come from our heart, God, because You're good. And You're right and You're true and You're perfect and You love us perfectly. And so, God, out of that, help us praise You. God, we pray, Lord, for submissive hearts as well to hear what You have for us today and how You would have us apply it. And so, God, we give You today. We give You our time. We ask, God, that You remove distractions. Just help us hear You clearly. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Welcome to Authentic Life Church. We're so glad that you're here with us, as Pastor Jeff said, either in person or online. We'll continue with our two in-person services at 9 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. each Sunday. We'll continue to practice, you know, having the chairs spread out, providing masks if you need them. But we also know that if you're more comfortable joining us online, that's an option that we will continue as well at 10:30 each Sunday. You can do that through our Facebook page or our website. If you are coming in person, we do have Kids Life for those that are four and under. So that's in the 10:30 service each Sunday. I will draw your attention to the bulletin, whether online at www.authenticlifeaz.com or it's in your seat. But we have lots of announcements in there. We're still going to do our Discover Authentic Life class, which is a class that we have for people who are considering membership. We're still doing that online. Pastor Jeff will work with your schedule to do that class if you're thinking about it. We're also doing something this week called... we're starting a praying life on Tuesday at 4:30 p.m. That's going to be online. So if you want to do that, go ahead and let Pastor Jeff know. You can do that on your connection card. When you're done, you can put your connection cards and your tithes and offerings in the box in the back, or you can submit those again online through our website. We're also doing something in person only on September 12th. So we would love it if you join us. We're going to pray with... Hector Estrada, he's our outreach point of contact for Pima Community College. We're going to be meeting at Pima Community College on the East Campus Saturday, September 12th from 9 to 9:30. So we would love it if you would join us and pray over that. I think Tucson is very unique in that we have such a huge college. We have a lot of college students in many of them are unreached, and we have a really great opportunity to reach them, to tell them that God loves them, and do that at a time when they're young and beginning and starting their lives. So we would love it if you would join us in that. If you have questions or if you'd like to get involved with a ministry, again, fill out your connection card and let us know. We do need people in person to help us set up, and we need people in each ministry. So if God's leading you in that way, let us know. We would love to have you. Welcome and enjoy worship.
I'll praise you on the mount. I'll praise you in the mountains in my way. You're the summit where my feet. I'll praise you in the valleys of the sea. No less God in the shadows. No less faithful in the night. God, we come to you today hoping that our worship is a sweet, sweet smell to you, Lord, an incense rising to you. May our prayers be the burnt offering that you take pleasure in, Lord. Sing over us and sing with us. And may your words speak to us today, Lord. In your name, amen. Amen.
Hey, church, good morning. Everybody okay? You doing all right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17, that says, all scripture is inspired by God, is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man, the woman of God, the follower of Christ, right, may be complete, equipped for every good work. In those verses, we see it says all scripture, all of God's word, the entire Bible is inspired by God. The literal translation of that phrase is that all scripture is breathed out by God, or that scripture is God breathed. And so God did use people, men and women, to write to the Bible that we hold in our hands. He used David and Moses and Paul and Peter and James and others, but it's all inspired by God and God breathed. Meaning this, church, the Bible that we hold in our hands, when we read it, when the Bible speaks, God speaks. He speaks. And what we read throughout the Bible, he says it's profitable, right? It's good. We need it for teaching, for correcting, for direction in our life, for the training, so that we as followers of Christ can know God's truth, so that we can read it, learn it, and apply it to our lives. And as a church family, we've been walking through one of the books of the Bible called Ephesians, verse by verse. And we've asked God during this time to teach us. We've asked God to be in charge and to help us apply it to our life. And so far, we've learned a few things, right? We've learned that when we trust in Jesus and place our faith in Him and call on Him to save us, man, He does. He rescues us, right? We're no longer slaves and chained to our sin. We're no longer separated from God, but we're now forgiven, set free, and adopted into the family of God. I love saying this, we are forever His, and He is forever ours. We've also learned that our lives as Christians, as Christ followers, should not reflect the world, but it should reflect the change that has happened within us, that we are made new, right? We're no longer to live like the old Jeff or the old you, right? Or like the world, but we're now to live as children of God. I think that's one thing that just separates Christianity from other world religions. Guys, we're not called to earn God or do things for God in the sense of earning Him or to earn His love, but we live in our life in a certain way out of the relationship as children of God. And so our daily walk more and more each day should look more like Christ. And so Paul has been helping us and teaching us what that walk and what that life looks like. But we're also reminded in Scripture that we can't walk this on our own. Amen? Like, we can't do it on our own. We've got the power of God. I think sometimes we just need to be reminded of that. We've got the power of God at work within us, right? The Holy Spirit, and He leads us and He helps us to live this out. And so Paul has been teaching us, here's how you live as Jesus followers and as children, beloved children of God. And then in our verses that we've already covered before today, Paul had said that we're to be filled. Don't let anything else control you. Don't be filled with anything else, but be filled and led by the Holy Spirit. Meaning that we're constantly to have Him pouring into us and filling us up and having Him as the one that leads and directs our life. Because when we're filled by the Holy Spirit, there's evidence of that in our life. Amen? Right? There's evidence of that in our life when we're filled. If someone gets filled up and drunk off alcohol, there's evidence of that. Amen? Right? And so, I don't know if we want to amen that, but it's true, right? But when the Holy Spirit fills us, there's evidence of that. And one of those things that's evident in our lives that when the Holy Spirit is leading us, verse 21 says that we'll become humble and submissive people. It says this, and we'll be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. In the fear of Christ, those five words are huge as we walk with Christ. Because of who Christ is, because He is Lord of our life, because we have this respect and this reverence and this awe for Him, right? That's how we live our lives. We do what we do because of that. But it says here that we're to be subject to one another. Here's what that means. As we look at others and begin to relate to each other, we should do it differently than how we did before Christ. Because here's what the world has taught us. Take care of you first. Make sure you're good, right? You're number one. You be you. But God is saying we are to see one another, to really see one another and see and place value on each other, or see really the value that God has placed on our, each other's lives, and we're to put each other before ourselves. Philippians probably says it best. Chapter 2, 3-5, it says, do nothing. Do nothing is a Greek word that means do not one thing. That's it. That's what it means. Do not one thing out of selfish ambition or conceit. But in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look not to his own desires, but rather to the interest of others. Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. And it goes on to give a passage, what we call like a passage of Christology, describing who Christ is. Verses 6 through 8 tells us that he emptied himself. By assuming the form of a servant to bring us what we couldn't bring ourselves. He took on the likeness of man. He humbled himself, right? He made his way to the cross. Church, talking about putting somebody before you, he gave his own life for you and me. And so as Christ followers, we are to humble ourselves, to value others, and to see the value that God has placed on their lives and put others before you and before me. Why did we recap all of that? Because it is extremely important for us to remember all of that as we get into verses 22 through 33. Because as Paul continues in his writing, the next thing we see him lay out is God's design, the biblical design for marriage and the family and even other relationships. But what we want to study, or what we want to do, is to study all of this in context. And so here's what we know. As Christ followers, we first begin by submitting to Christ. Which leads us, when we're following him in that way, it will lead us to caring and loving others and putting them before ourselves. And then the next verse, Paul begins to address the family and he lays out for us God's design. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to look at husbands and wives and parents and children and even relationships outside of that. And so what I'd love for you guys to do is if you guys would stand, we're going to read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. We're actually only going to go to 31 today. And just a side note, today is going to look a little different than it normally does, but that's good, and I think God will be honored today. So let's read this together. It says, verse 21 says, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And then verse 22, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. He himself being the Savior of the body, but as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be subject to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands also ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. Verse 31, he quotes from all the way back in Genesis, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and they shall be joined, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we're grateful that we have the word of God that is true and is right and will endure forever. God, because you, it's your word. And so when this speaks, you speak. And so, God, we listen. God, prepare our hearts as we look through this, basically our relationships out, marriage and kids and employment and even spiritual warfare. as we start thinking about wrapping up Ephesians, God, we pray, Lord, that you would just prepare our hearts for all of that today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. As followers of Jesus, our aim is to love and follow and pursue Christ and not the world. I say that because, as we know, our world, our culture, often has a lot of different views on things in life that don't line up with the Word of God. Amen, right? And so, for us, we think about marriage today. There's a lot of different views on marriage. Over the few years, we've seen tried to add additions to marriage. We've seen steps to redefine marriage. Everybody wants to speak into what they think good marriage is, what it should look like, how it should be lived out. But for us, church, we're to look to the Word of God and to the creator and designer of marriage. I think God did a pretty good thing when he thought of marriage. Amen, church, right? And why is that? Because marriage, why do we look to God? Marriage is a relationship designed by God. In our culture, we need to make this statement. Marriage was not designed by our court system. Marriage was not designed or created by our politicians or any other person or organization. It was designed and created and thought up by God. And so to see his design, I want us to take a step back, and we're going to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and look at that. But I want to read a passage this morning. We started by reading out of 2 Timothy, and it's not going to be up on the screen. I just want to read this passage to us today. Paul is writing to Timothy, which is a pastor over the church of Ephesus at this point. It's known as a pastoral epistle. And he says this to him. He says, "Preach the word." We just kind of stopped there, couldn't we? Preach the word. "Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." Church, he says this, "For the time will come when they," the world, people, "will not endure sound the doctrine." They will not they'll not listen to it. They won't endure the truth of the gospel. "But wanting to hear," or wanting to have their ears tickled, mean they only want to hear what makes them feel good. Amen, church, or what they want to hear. And so they're going to accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Church, they saw it back in that day, and we see it today. It's nothing new, and it's going to continue to be that way, where people are going to turn away from the truth of God's word and listen and even hire pastors and teachers and people to speak into their lives of things that they want to hear. But the Bible tells us that we are to listen to the Word of God, and so that's what we're going to do today. Amen? Amen? So on marriage, church, I just can't stress this is important. And so here, we're going to go back to the beginning. What's that? That's that. Let's start at the very beginning. You guys remember that song? Come on. Okay. All right. You guys are supposed to start singing with me, so I wasn't by myself. But here's what it says. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. "So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female." So chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Genesis aren't one verse or one passage and then the next day this happened. It's they're kind of parallel, and one of them gives a little bit more description than the other. And so when we turn the page and go to chapter 2, this is before Eve was created, and we see that God had created man. He had created Adam, and Adam is hanging out with the Lord in the Garden of Eden, and they're just kind of doing life together, and he was walking with God, right? God was walking with Adam, and he gave Adam responsibilities. He said, "Hey, I want you to do these things, and I'm going to give you rule over certain things, over animals." And so as Adam's hanging out there and he's naming and caring for the animals, God kind of points out, he says, "Adam, there's no helper that's suitable for you." And he says, "I'm going to take care of that." And so out of Adam, God created woman. He created Eve. And so whenever in that passage we see this one that we already read that describes marriage, we see it for the first time in chapter 2, verse 24. It said, "This is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds with his wife, and they become one flesh." There are plenty of passages that speak to God's design for marriage, but I think this is a good one, starting from the beginning in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. So here's what happened. Man, male, right, he was alone, and so God saw, hey, that's not good, and so he created Eve, right, to be that helpmate that he needed to do life with, because it wasn't good for him to be alone. And we see that God created them, church, he created them male and female. Church, this is one man and one woman. One man, one woman. Biblically speaking, if we're going to stick to the truth of God's word, there's no redefining that. It doesn't matter how we feel. It doesn't matter what culture says. It doesn't matter what's popular. We don't get to redefine what God has said is perfect. We don't get to add who gets to be married and who doesn't. Now, let me be very, very clear. Every single one of us has sin in our life. Amen? Living outside of God's design for marriage is sin. We all have brokenness and sin in our lives. If we see someone living outside of God's design in marriage, it gives us no right to not love them. Amen? Are you with me, church? But we don't get to decide, or we don't get to redefine or restructure marriage, because when we do that, when we start adding or changing things or redefining, we're saying to God, you didn't get it right. Or it was only good for a period of time, but we've got it figured out, God. We're good. When we do those things, we are going against God, and that is sin, church. It's brokenness, right? It's to have a marriage or a union outside of God's design. And I'm not just talking about same-sex stuff. I'm talking about anything that is outside of God's marriage or outside of God's design of marriage. Sexuality is for expression within marriage, not outside of marriage, not before we say the I do's. One man and one woman, and God speaks of them becoming one flesh. This speaks of a forever bond, and this was designed. He created it. He said this is good, and it's to be a permanent union, a permanent relationship functioning as one. Now let's take a time out. If we look around, we see that we live in a broken world. There's brokenness in our lives all around us. There's brokenness in your life, in my life, in all of our homes. We live in a world where there is brokenness in our homes, in our marriages, in our families, and we just have to open our eyes and we see that separation exists. Divorce exists. Now let's be clear, it's not God's design for that to happen. It's not. But each and every one of us, I would dare say each and every one of us in this room has been affected by divorce and separation in marriage one way or another. But we've got to go back to the heart of God. Matthew chapter 19, Jesus was tricked. He was asked a trick question about divorce because there was a letter in the law that allowed that for certain things. But Jesus just really gets to the heart of the matter. And he said, okay, it's between male and female to become one flesh. And he says this, so they are no longer two but one flesh. And he says, therefore, he says, listen up, religious leaders. Listen up, church. What God has joined together, let no one separate. And so because of that, we know it is not God's design or his desire for divorce or separation to happen, but brokenness and sin, they exist in each and every one of our lives, in each and every one of our homes. And when we think about divorce, they happen for many different reasons. There's abuse, there's neglect, there's laziness, there's just, you fall. I mean, you with me, church? I mean, there's lots of reason that it happens. But here's the great thing. There's good news. There's good news. Jesus, just like any other sin or brokenness in our life, he saw that brokenness. He saw that sin, and he said, you know what? I love you so much. I see that, and I'm going to come, and I'm going to bring forgiveness and healing, and I'm going to make things new. Church, he came to make beauty from the ashes. It's a good place to say amen. Just saying. And let me say this. I've had people ask me the question before, well, I've already walked through this. The divorce has already happened. What do we do? And I tell them, wherever you are in your life, give that brokenness to God and honor him where you are right now. Start right now. Honor God in your marriage. Honor God in your home and in your relationships. And so, guys, we thank God and praise God for that good news of the gospel. Amen? Right? Jesus heals. He forgives. He restores when we trust and follow him. We're grateful for his grace and his forgiveness and his restoration in all areas of our life, including marriage and relationships in the home. And so here's the thing. As we look to this text over the next few weeks, we're going to look at marriage. We're going to look at the relationship between parents and children. When we look at these, church, I think we need to, no, I'm convinced we need to ask ourselves this question. What authority, what model, what voice am I going to listen to when it comes to my marriage, when it comes to my home, when it comes to relationships? And it goes back to the prior verse as well, where we're to be subject to one another, right? We don't, if we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't get a choice in that. Will we listen to what culture says when the world teaches us, hey, you put you as number one, you take care of you, or will we listen to God's word and humbly put one another before ourselves? And the question goes for our relationships inside the home and outside the home. Church, as followers of Christ, we have to answer that question. Whose authority and whose voice are we going to follow? Basically, in every area of our life, we've got to answer that question. And so when we're looking at marriage today, will we listen to the voices outside of God, or will we listen to the voice of God? I think about friends and family. I've worked with many, many couples, that their family is speaking into their lives, and they should. You can be a great source to go to and listen to and receive counsel from. But here's the reality. Your family, they don't hold the ultimate authority in marriage. That only belongs to God. And the moment that family, if they're pointing us to the Lord, they're pointing us to Scripture, amen, let's do it, right? We need people to speak into our lives in our marriage. But at the moment that they start giving suggestions that do not line up with God, we've got to be gracious but willing to say, thank you, but I choose God's authority on this matter. In marriage, when who speaks into that? It could be the media, it could be Hollywood, speaker, an author, a book, right? Maybe public opinion or culture, sometimes ourselves. We don't give ourselves a credit enough, right? We go against the Lord a lot, right? And so is it us speaking into it? But as followers of Christ, will we look to God's word, knowing that it's God-breathed, knowing that it's true? Will we submit to his authority and his voice? Jessica and I, in our marriage, we've been married 16 and a half years. It's a long time, man. Some of you all got me, don't you? Some of you guys got me by quite a few years. Anybody over like 50 years, 40? Anybody over 40? There you go. Man, hey, praise God, man. That's good. I love it. My parents, I think, 42 years, I think. Something like that. I don't know, a long time. They've been putting up with me for a long time. But before we got married, we had to answer that question. And we have to keep answering that question every day. Each of you guys have to answer that question with your marriage and your homes and every relationship. Whose authority will I follow? And church, I might say when it comes to our marriage and relationships, this might be the most important question that you can answer in your marriage. Will we listen to others? Will we listen to us? Or will we listen to God? In church, as followers of Jesus, there's only one right answer. There's only one right answer. Let God and his word be the authority in our marriage. Let God and his word be the authority in our marriage. We aren't seeing many of these open right now, but does anyone enjoy going to a buffet? Everybody left me hanging on the first one. Okay, so, all right, we got a few of us. I love buffets. I shouldn't, but I do. And every time I go to one particular buffet, my second plate, the first one, you always got to, you know, at least look like you got some greens on there, right? So you get some greens on there and get some kind of healthy stuff. But that second plate at one particular buffet, my wife always looks at me. She shakes her head and says, that's gross. And here's what it is. Pizza, two tacos, and mashed potatoes and gravy. All on one plate. You take that pizza and you just dip it in that gravy and mashed potatoes and you just, it's good, man, right? But you can't get that plate anywhere else, can you? You got to do that yourself at the buffet. You got all of these options of food right in front of you. And when I go to a buffet, there are things that will always be on my plate to eat, right? They're always going to be there. There's always going to be some of my favorites on the plate. There are some things that I would try to for the first time. Jessica and I actually went to a nice buffet, a couple years ago, and they just had this section of seafood, and I saw something there, and I said, man, I've never had that before. I'm going to try it. So I went back to my table, and my wife says, what in the world is that? And I said, baby, it's octopus, and it is good. You know, you got to try some new stuff. So you're always trying something new, right? But here's the thing. There's things that are always going to be there, my favorites, new things. But there are also foods, if you know me, that will never be found on my plate. It just won't. When Jessica and I are going through a salad line, she's going to throw all sorts of stuff on there. Her salad is much bigger than mine is, but she's going to throw these things in there. I think they're from the fall, but onions, man. I'm just like, I'm just kidding. It's not from the fall, but you get what I'm saying? Like, they may be good for me. Mushrooms, can't do that, man. You know, just mushrooms and onions will never be on my salad or on my plate, and if they are, they're just going to get flung off, right? It's not happening. It might be good for me, but I just can't do it. And I'm going to leave him right there. Here's why I bring this up. Because too often we, not just the world, but we as Christians often grab God's word and we treat it as a buffet line. we go through it, and we're like, oh, I like this part. I like this part. I can do this. I can do this. Oh, I haven't read this before. I'm going to try something new. I'm going to read this real quick, right? And I'm going to see how I feel about this. And there are certain things that we're just going to skip over, and we're going to leave it right where we found it. Right where we found it. In church, that's dangerous. Because the moment we begin to treat God and His Word like a buffet line, picking and choosing what we want to follow, is the moment that we place our trust in us or in the culture, and we no longer place it in Him and the Bible. It's dangerous. Not everything we read in Scripture is all, you know, makes you smile. I mean, it's all good. It's all true. Some of it's really hard. And so as we approach these verses on relationships, as we look at marriage and parents and children and relationships outside the home, church, we can know that what we're reading in there is all good. It's profitable. It's God-breathed. It's true. And guys, it's right. It's right. There are so many voices that want to speak into our marriage. There's a lot of redefining of marriage going on in our culture. And then we have our own feelings and emotions and thoughts. We do. We're probably our worst enemy in that, right? I mean, this is how I feel about that, right? There's a lot of competition that we or the world offers when it comes to marriage. But all we have to do is look throughout our own life or history, right? Because our own thoughts and our opinions change. Go back to that, what's it called, the memories on Facebook. You feel different than you did when you posted it 5 years ago. Public opinion changes, definitions change, culture change, but God and His Word do not. Listen to what Psalm 119:60 says. It says, the entirety of your Word is truth. Each of your righteous judgments endures for how long, church? Forever. Based off this verse, John MacArthur says this, there is not one speck of untruth in Scripture. And that's a good reminder, because a lot of times with Christians, marriage can be one of those things where we walk through it and we treat it like a buffet line, and where there's some things that we pick up because it fits us well or it may be easy, and there are things that we decide we're just going to leave here. But as Christ followers, we've got to let God and His Word be the authority in our marriage. What God has to say about marriage and other relationships that we're going to look at, we can read it, we can believe it, we can trust in it, and church, we have to build our lives around it. Because when the Bible speaks, God speaks. You know, it's funny, when I began working on today's message like I do any other message, I began praying and reading and reading and reading and studying, and my intent was to start with verse 21 and then go into verse 22 and talk about the wives and then go into the husbands, right? Go all the way through verse 33, verse by verse, like we've always done. But I was just praying and I'm studying and I'm preparing, and I just felt like God was telling me, this Sunday needs to be different, Jeff. This Sunday needs to be different. There are some things that I need for us to hear. You ever hear like God saying that to you? Like, don't jump ahead. Just sit with me for a minute. And so before we dive into this next section, there's some things that we need to hear. And I'm going to be all over the place just for a couple minutes. But I need you to hear, this is why we need to hear this. Because too often, we like to skip over this section of marriage, right? Because it's hard, right? Or we don't agree with it, or we don't like it, or we want to pick and choose what we want to apply out of it, or we misapply it. If we take this passage that we're going to read, verse 22 through 33, and we take it out of context, it's very easy to misapply. When someone is speaking or preaching on marriage, right, or writing on it, sometimes we just jump right into verse 22, and there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. There's nothing wrong with jumping right into verse 22, because what we see is God's design for the marriage. We see God's design and the role for the wife and her role in the relationship. We see God's design for the husband and his role in the relationship. It's all good stuff. It's true. It should be lived out in our homes. We're going to cover it. We're going to dive in deep, and we're going to preach it. I just felt God was saying we need to address our hearts this morning, to be aware that there are those things. There are things in this world around us that are speaking into our lives and our marriage. Parents, I need you to hear me clearly on this next part. The world is trying to teach your children what marriage should look like. I need you to hear me. Know what your kids are listening to. Know what the school district is teaching. Know what they're seeing on TV when it comes to marriage, because they're starting young and saying, this is what it looks like. And our job is to know the Word of God, so that whenever they're faced with questions, or whenever they're faced with things that just aren't true, or just things that are just sinful, we can say, hey, come here. This is not what Daddy and Mommy say, but this is what the Word of God says. Guys, in all of our lives, not just children, TV, books, school curriculum, society, they affect us, right? And they tell us what they want us to believe about marriage. And too often, even us within the church, we rely on them and we believe them. Too often we forget that it was God's idea for marriage. He thought this awesome thing up, right? He created it. He defined it. And so we're going to address the heart, because too often, church, here's another one, things get hard in marriage. And we forget. We feel that things are really difficult in marriage. But here's a newsflash. At 16 and a half, I can tell you this, goodness sakes, I could tell you at 2 weeks, this marriage is hard. It's worth it, but it's hard. It's so awesome, but it's hard. My wife is my favorite person in the whole world. I mean, y'all don't stand a chance. And your wife and your spouse should be the number one person in the world, and no one else should stand a chance. Marriage is awesome, but it's hard. Amen? Husbands, wait till your wife say amen before you say amen on that. I'm just saying, trying to help you. And here's another reason why I felt we needed to dive more deep into this before looking at the next few verses. It's because Christians or people that read this passage will look at these next few verses, especially the next one, and they take them out of context and they misuse them. Unfortunately, there were people that will read verses like verse 22 and use it as an opportunity to oppress or mistreat their wife. I just need to be very clear this morning. We're going to address this more next week as well. Man, I need you to hear me. There is nothing, there's not one thing in the Bible that allows us to mistreat or abuse or hurt anyone, especially our wives. Are you with me? That sin, it's evil. It makes God grieve. And I just want to say, if there's abuse in a marriage or a relationship in your home, man, you need to take that to God. You need to get some help. Because I'm just telling you, as a church, we won't stand for it. We will stand for the one that's been abused. Are you hearing me, church? I'm getting a little serious here. Are you with me? This verse, verse 22, wives, be subject to your own husband as to the Lord. Men, we can take that and we can twist it and we can misuse it. It's true. We're going to teach it. We're going to preach it. We need to apply it. Wives, right? Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Are you with me? Man, we're going to live those out. We're going to preach them. But it's got to be read. Those things need to be read in context with the rest of the Bible and with this passage. So going back to Genesis chapter 1, where the Bible says that male and female were both created in the image of God. Valuable, both of them. Marriage is between one man and one woman, both created in the image of God, equally valuable. Psalm 139, we read that all people, male, female, young people, kids, were knit together in the womb. They're loved and valued by their creator, and we too must love them and value them in that way. Passages like Ephesians 5:21 or Philippians 2, where we learn that we're to be subject to one another and put them before us, and not to be selfish in our relationships, but to be humble. And consider others as more important than themselves. And then, when we read verses like verse 22, or we go into the parental stuff in chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, we'll know how to apply that. Each and every person, male, female, child, is equally valuable in God's eyes. And if we're having a problem seeing them that way, we need to take that to the Lord and confess that. We're to treat them as God would have us treat them. You know, what's devastating right now is the rise of abuse in the home. There's a lot of people that are just stuck at home. Amen? Right? Some of you guys work and live in this world, and you get what I'm saying. I read something the other day that right here in our area, spousal abuse is up by 70%. What? I can't imagine. Men, be godly men in your homes. Love your wife. Parents, they're seeing somewhere around 3 times more reports in certain areas of parental abuse towards their children. Are you with me, church? We got to apply the text appropriately. It's devastating. It's evil. It's sin. So that's why we're really spending some time on this. We've got to value and see people as equally value and put them before us. And today we're addressing our hearts before diving deep into these verses, asking God to prepare us for the next few weeks. Because often we read what the Bible says and the roles and responsibilities of wives and husbands. You know, we got to talk about our heart, because a lot of times we address these issues of marriage or in the home with our kids, and we just kind of have these thoughts, right? We build up these walls. We can think, well, I don't like that, God. God, it's 2020. Or get with the times, God. Right? It's not like that anymore. I just don't think it should be that way, God. Or maybe you're thinking, man, God, I just think that was for back in that day. It's not. Or I've heard this one, God, that's just not how it works in my home. When your home's doing it wrong. There's no other way to say it, right? It's not about our opinion. It's not about what's comfortable. It's not about it's all about His design and what is right. Church, when we know who God is and know that we can trust Him in everything, we know that His word is not a buffet line, but we can grab all of it and apply all of it to our lives with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because knowing these things, it leads us to reading and applying and living it out, because what He says is best, church. Just look around to a world that doesn't seek God. Right? God knows what's best. Allowing God to be the authority in our marriage, church. I need you to hear me on this one. You want to have a good godly marriage, right? To live your best marriage now, as we would say, like in these worlds today. If you want to have that best marriage, man, allow God to be the authority in your home. Allow His word to be the authority in your marriage, right? Because then He'll make it like He wanted it to be. We see what happens when the world, or even ourselves, when we dictate how we do marriage. Guys, we can and we must trust Him and the Word of God to be the authority. Here's another reality about marriage. Marriage is really important. Marriage is vital. You watch Hollywood and they would have you think that marriage is something that you can go in and out of, in and out of, in and out of, in and out of, in and out of. Marriage is probably more important than you know, than I know. And here's the thing. Anything that God has created, anything that God has created to be good, anything that carries the importance that marriage does, it will be attacked, church. I'm not saying it might. It will be. Your marriage will be attacked. That's what Satan does. He attacks what God has created for good. He attacks our relationships with God. He attacks our marriage. He attacks our family. And here's why. Because he knows the importance of family. Family, church, is the foundation of society. The foundation of society. Our world is made up of continents and nations are made up of states and provinces and territories, and those states and territories are made up of cities. You see where I'm going, right? And those cities are made up of communities and neighborhoods and individual groups, but at the foundation of all of that is this wonderful thing called family. Before the school systems, before the districts, before there was government, before there was healthcare or any other group, there was the family. Anybody like sociology in here? All right, good. We got a few more than last time. I love you guys. Right? I'm a huge fan of sociology. Right? You just get to study the social structures, why things happen, why problems happen, why people and groups of people do what they do. But in sociology, there's an understanding. It doesn't matter if you're coming from a religious or a biblical background, or if you're coming from a secular background that has nothing to do with that. But here's the statement that is known and accepted. As goes the family, so goes the community. As goes the family, so goes the community. It's not as goes the banks or as goes Walmart or as goes your sports team. As goes the family, so goes the community. So family is the foundation of society. And the second thing is this, marriage is the foundation of the family. So as goes the family, so goes the community. Guess what? As goes the marriage, so goes the family. Marriage really matters, church. James Boyce, a theologian and scholar, had this to say about marriage and as an institution. He said, marriage is the institution from which all other institutions came. He said, marriage is the first and foundational institution, which means that all other institutions are in one way or another built upon it. And here's what that means. Satan's goal is to attack that foundation. If he wants to hurt the nation, if he wants to hurt the cities, if he wants to hurt the states and the communities and the neighborhoods and all those, guess what he's going to do? He's going to attack the family. And to really attack the family, what's he going to do? He's going to go after your marriage. Marriage is that important, church. And so as we begin today's sermon and start diving in at verse 22, verse 33, I'm just kidding, y'all. All right, I want to have a healthy marriage too, and my wife would not be happy about that. So we're going to look at that next week. I told you it's going to be a little bit different because God is just preparing our hearts for what we're doing over the next couple weeks. This is super uncomfortable for me because I like to just dive in and get down into the depths of these verses. But this is just where God wants us today. And so here's a recap. We're going to walk out of here with this truth that we are going to carry with us throughout this week and be prepared in our hearts for next week. Let God and His Word be the authority in your marriage. Let God and His Word be the authority in our marriage. Guys, we have a world full of ever-changing opinions about marriage and what it should look like and how it should be lived out. We have our own struggles, don't we? Right? But church, we can believe what God says. We can believe what the Word of God says about marriage because He created it, He defined it, He structured it. And so we need to let God and His Word be that authority because marriage, church, is important. I know today was quite different than it usually is. Next week, don't worry, we're going to dive in. We're going to cover all of that. We're going to see God's design for marriages, the roles in the relationship for the wife and the role in the relationship for the husband. We're going to dive deep into all of that. But I want us to know this. Ultimately, we're going to see that marriage is actually a beautiful picture and reflection of the relationship and the union between Christ and the church. Your marriage is that important. It gives the world a picture and a reflection of the gospel. Guys, it's going to be good. Don't miss it. Oh, you're going to talk about marriage again? No, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Come ready knowing that God is good and that His design is perfect. Church, I'm going to ask you guys to close your eyes and bow your heads just for a second. I just want you to think through this. What is God wanting you to do? What part of your heart? What do you need to do to prepare your heart for this? Maybe it's not even in your marriage. Maybe it's outside of that, that you just say, you know what? I need to trust God's authority in a certain area of my life. Maybe it is in your marriage and you're sitting there thinking, man, I think we got a pretty godly and healthy marriage, but what is God going to teach me in this? I need to prepare my heart for that, for whatever we learn out of this passage. I'd even challenge you guys to read through it and be prepared next week. Verse 21 through 33. But ask God, have that time with God at this moment. God, what are you teaching me today? Obviously, there was a little bit of pause before we dive into chapter 20 or verse 22. So God, what are you teaching me? If you're here today and you say, you know what, you're talking about God and the Bible and Jesus and how He came and rescued us and gave us a new life, I don't know Jesus. I've got brokenness in my life. I've got brokenness in my marriage. I've got brokenness in my family. I've got brokenness everywhere I look. I need you to hear that Jesus sees you and He knows what you're going through. Maybe you know Christ and you're walking through something difficult right now. Know that Jesus is right there with you. Trust Him. Let Him be the authority as you walk through that. Feel His presence. Listen to His voice. Even over your own. But if you're here today and you say, man, I don't know Jesus. I don't have that relationship with Jesus. I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know where I would spend eternity. Jesus came to rescue you. Because of sin, there's brokenness. There's separation from God. And Jesus says, I got you. I got you. Trust in me, believe in me, follow me, and I'll give you a new life. You spend eternity with me. We'll walk together through this life. So if God is drawing you near to Him, if He is calling on you to follow Him for salvation, church, don't ignore that call. Respond to Him and say, yes, Jesus, will you save me? I believe that you're Lord. I believe that you're God. I believe that you died on the cross and rose again for me. We don't have to understand all the details. We just need to know those things. If we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we confess with our mouth that He's Lord. The Bible tells us that He'll save us. So I'm going to pray right now, and then we're going to sing. Church, just listen to what God's teaching you. God, we love you, and we're so grateful for the Word of God that we can trust you. God, help us be followers of Christ that lives it out, that follows the Word of God in season and out season, whenever it's popular, whenever it's not, whenever it's hard, whenever it's easy, when we're on a mountaintop or in a valley. God, help us trust you. Help us allow you to be on the throne of our hearts, to be that authority, to listen to your voice over all other voices, including our own. God, prepare our hearts as we come and we address marriage next week. Because God, as goes the marriage, so goes the family. As goes the family, so goes the community. But it goes even before that. As goes our relationship with God, so goes our marriage. So Father God, we pray, Lord, today that you would prepare our hearts. Help us humble ourselves before you. And Father, if there's someone here today that says, I don't know Jesus. I don't have that relationship with Him. God, I just pray, Lord, that they could not miss your voice. God, I pray, Lord, today they would hear you say, I love you, I died for you, I rose again for you, I want a relationship with you, I will bring forgiveness to you, I'll adopt you into my family. Please don't let them miss that. God, we pray, Lord, they would respond and trust in you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, if you want to know more about Christ, if you're online, let us know. Fill out that connection card. Let us know. We'd love to share Jesus with you. If you made a decision to follow Christ, let us know as well. We'd love to come alongside you and walk with you on that. Guys, let's stand and let's worship God in one last song.
Thank you.
Amen, church. Good morning, amen, right? Hey, know this, man, wherever you are, Jesus loves you, and he's ready for you to follow him, whatever that may be. If you're walking through something hard in that, man, we'd love to come alongside and help and encourage, but just know that God is right there with you, and at any point, you can just say, God, I'm just going to surrender the authority of you. Amen? Amen? So he loves us, man. So, hey, guys, I love you. Thanks for being here. Let's pray and then head out. Father, we love you, and we're so grateful that we get to gather as a church family. God, people are here because you wanted them here. You brought them together. Thank you for my brothers and sisters, my church family, those that are online that aren't able to be here. God, I know we've got new people watching online as well and just really wanting to learn what authentic life, who we are, and what we're all about. And so, God, we're excited about what you're doing. This pandemic doesn't slow you down one bit. Help us continue to be after you, seeking you, following you, and help us continue to see other people, put them before us, but also see other people that don't know Christ and share the amazing story with them. God, be glorified in our lives this week. Prepare our hearts for next week so that we can say, we're ready, God, for you to be the authority in our relationships, especially in our marriage. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.